Welcome everyone to the Flight Test Podcast. I don't even know what number this is.
A lot.
It's a number in the 50s.
So is it in the 50s? Seriously?
I don't know.
That's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Welcome to somewhere in the 50s.
it's 40s or 50s. I don't know. I want to thank you for listening to the Flight Test Podcast. Sorry this one's a little bit late.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this in the future, it was not late. It went out on time.
Yeah,
so.
Just ignore the fact that we're 4 days late currently.
Exactly. So we try to get these podcasts out every Friday. It didn't quite happen, but we want to try something new today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about stamps.com.
Yeah.
Josh, what is stamps.com?
Stamps.com is very important to us because that's what we use to ship. We were currently, when we started off, we didn't know much and we had quite high shipping rates and it was very clunky. I was actually handwriting a lot of stuff and stamps.com came along and we were able to utilize that programming and the fact that it interfaces with a lot of other e-commerce solutions made it beautiful for us and we still use it to this day. The thing I like about it is it discounts postage, so when you use it you're actually getting a cheaper rate than if you went to the post office and you can print your own postage there. So we see it as a very big value, a very big benefit for us, but it doesn't mean that you have to ship out thousands of packages a month. You could just be shipping out a couple and you don't have to run to the post office. You can actually have pickup at your house. Very, very useful tool that we like.
That was very elaborate.
Wow, and actually,
you really know your stuff.
We didn't plan this out at all. We just thought we were just gonna.
I should plug it. And actually, the funny thing was, is literally, I remember staying up till 1 a.m. And we got maybe like 10 orders a day, and doing the custom sheets and all that crazy stuff. It was a nightmare. Yeah. So the stamps.com solution was definitely good for us. Very easy. And yeah, that was not rehearsed, by the way.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was like the best read I've ever heard. So yeah, basically, if you guys want to try stamps.com, this episode is actually not sponsored by stamps.com.
We're trying something different.
We set up an affiliate link for stamps.com. So if you want to support the show and are interested in stamps.com, you can use our affiliate link, ftstamps.com. And that'll redirect you to the welcome page where you can get started and get signed up and start mailing stuff from your house.
So the cool thing is, by you using this, you save money and make us money.
Exactly. So if you want to support the show, go to ftstamps.com and that'll redirect you to the welcome page.
10% of everything gained from stamps.com will go directly into my Mountain Dew budget.
We actually don't know what the math is there, but we'll buy some Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. So if people are listening to this right now, we apologize that podcast is going out a little bit late because we've just had a crazy travel schedule.
It's been a wonderful, crazy travel schedule.
We joked that, it wasn't a joke at the time, but it is now, that possibly it would get recorded on the road.
Yeah.
and now that's a bit of a joke. But
I think, honestly, we need to do that sometime.
Yeah.
We need to do, and I think the people will forgive us for bad quality, but we'll just put some mics for them.
I don't think you guys realize how bad a quality it would be.
And now you know why we didn't do it.
Driving down the highway in an RV.
Well, I don't think
it wasn't
the
RV. It was a Suburban.
That's true.
That was when we talked about it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, the RV was the...
That would still be bad.
Yeah.
But, like, Well, I guess it's not fair to people that, like, want to hang out and build stuff at events, you know, to record it at night or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe people could hang out and, I don't know, listen or something.
It'd be cool to do a community podcast, but then we still have the challenge of microphones and stuff. I mean, I think we did something like that at Flight Fest.
Is it recording right now?
Yes.
Cool.
It doesn't look like it. So today we're going to be talking about Maker Faire.
Oh, yeah.
Because we went to Maker Faire and had an awesome time, and we haven't had a chance to do a podcast since we talked about that. So we're going to talk about Maker Faire, and we're going to talk about eWeek.
Both were epic in different ways.
Yeah, those crazy, awesome events that we went to, and those were basically back-to-back.
Yeah, less than 24 hours. Literally, we got back Monday from Maker Faire, and we were leaving Wednesday morning for the other thing, for eWeek.
So I apologize. We apologize to anybody that we're behind on emails and this sort of thing, but we should be getting caught up here this week. So.
Yeah.
So Maker Faire.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was a new experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A whole new world.
Actually, you have the background on Maker Faire. Do you want to share that?
Yeah. basically, we got a call from a friend of ours at Make Magazine, Mike Sinise, who's done worked with us on some articles before. Make is just a really cool organization.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, for those of you that aren't familiar with Make, make is kind of a multimedia project, kind of like Flight Test, mm-hmm. But they're all about things that are DIY. They're about electronics. They're about 3D printing. Just like anything that you can make, crafts, yeah. arts. I know they do
anything
a lot of
DIY.
That.
Yeah, from fashion to flying.
Yep, and so they do a lot with like Arduino and 3D printing and stuff like that. It's just a really interesting company, and so they have a YouTube channel. They have about 700,000 subscribers mm-hmm. there. They put on Maker Faire every year. And actually, they put on Maker Faires all over the planet. Actually, I think there's actually quite a few international ones as well. Actually, I think the Rome Maker Fair is going on right now.
The Rome one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to that one.
Yeah, no kidding. So the two main ones, what I think they call their World Maker Fairs, are the Bay Area, and I think that's about 120,000 people, and then the New York NYC Maker Fair, which I think is about 80,000-90,000 people somewhere in there.
And that's the one we went to.
Yep. And so we went to the New York City Maker Faire, and it was awesome. There was probably, I don't know, at least hundreds of exhibits, yeah. and we probably saw half of them.
Yeah. I think there was over 1,000 different makers.
Wow, that's awesome.
I like the way they do it, too, is I think there's like a process where you apply to have a spot, right?
Yeah.
It's not just
mm-hmm.
like anyone just kind of walks in and plops it down.
Exactly.
They kind of critique them, and some of them are pretty odd.
Yeah.
but a lot of them were really well thought out, and I think this was the year of 3D printing mm-hmm. because there's like a whole row of nothing but 3D printers.
I think every year at Maker there's 3D printers everywhere.
Yeah. Well, like you get more and more of them from what I see.
Yeah, we kind of felt left out because we didn't bring ours.
Yeah.
Just nice. Walk around with a strap to your back. That'd be kind of cool. But we got to set up in the flying area and also host the table at the Drone Zone. For a couple 2-hour stints at a time, and also fellowship with Lucas Weekly, and that was really cool too.
Yeah, Lucas Weekly is from Maker Hanger. Mm-hmm. He's got a cool YouTube channel and does a lot of cool tutorials, build videos, kind of similar to what we do. He even uses foam board like us, and he has some really cool multi-rotor designs. He's a really nice guy, really talented too.
Yeah, he actually had some articles. I think it was one of his earlier ventures, Busy BTV, where he was making mini swappables or mini swappable pods. He kind of modified the pod concept and used a lot of really cool designs. But he posted those articles on our website. Back before Maker Hanger. So he's done a lot of really cool, very, very thorough gentleman as far as in his knowledge and his communication and his very deep voice. That was pretty pretty cool. It was amazing. We set up and we drove, oh my gosh, we left here probably around, well, we met at 5, but didn't really hit the road till almost 8.
Yeah.
We rolled in there around like 6 o'clock. And it was already getting dark, and...
and wow. it was happening.
Yeah.
It was busy there.
Rush hour... Friday night rush hour in New York City was not fun.
No.
And a big shout out to my brother for driving through that.
Mm-hmm. And it smelled bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had to get gas
rotten
somewhere,
eggs.
And there was an odor. I asked Jim, I said, do you drive over someone? Mm-hmm. But he didn't. And people, though, actually were very friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the common thing, everyone's honking at you, and we're driving through a Suburban in a trailer. And, you know, Jim would turn on his turn signal, and someone let him over, and that was really courteous.
Well, so. That's probably after, like, the 15th car. Well, I noticed.
The important thing is someone let him pull over.
Well, actually, he kind of just pulled into the lane, but that's the way you drive in New York.
There you go.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad, I'll never get used to that traffic. Mm-hmm. And all the great people that we met from the flight test community that lived in New York, I was like, how do you guys do it? And they all do the same thing. They just kind of smile and smirk. They don't have an answer. They just do it.
Yeah, right. You just start to learn the ways. It's like it's like anywhere else.
Yeah, but they had no fly in there. That was one thing that's unfortunate.
They had a fly zone.
Yeah, fly zone with no flight. But you know, I can say rightfully so. There were so many people around there,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. also the fact that there was, you could literally almost see the airport from where we are.
Yeah,
and
there was air traffic going over. As every 5 minutes, you'd see a huge airliner flying over about, what'd you say, 1,000 feet?
Yeah.
So
yeah, so it wouldn't be safe anyway.
I think that stipulation had a lot to do with, I think it's illegal to fly any kind of anything RC in New York State parks. I think.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Make.
Yeah.
It was actually the first Maker Faire where there was no flying, which I found surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was the New York Parks Department that didn't want any flying, which rightfully so. Even if there was flying, I don't think we would be doing much flying.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Not over people, yeah. Because there was, what, over the two, it's a two-day event, and I think they normally get about anywhere from 70 to 90,000 people. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people in the middle of a crammed city.
Yeah. There's also no place to land at all in the fly zone, which is kind of funny.
Wasn't there one guy flying like a Delta?
Yeah, he had these...
And he got reprimanded, and he tried to land it, and he hit some people.
Yeah, he had some fanfold designs from stuff you can get at Lowe's.
Okay.
He also tried to tie it to a string to get around that, because if you tie a string to your whatever you fly, it's considered a kite, but that didn't work out too well for him. Luckily, I just tied a string to the VTOL, and then he just hovered it.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't huge fans of that either, so we put it away.
Yeah.
Seemed like a good idea at
the time. You got one round outside with
just
that.
It hovered it. I never was going to transition it, because there's just too many things that can go wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't a huge area, but to be fair, it's not really set up for flying anyway.
No.
So, and we, our tent was always like, sometimes even two or three people deep.
Yeah.
And so we were constantly talking to people. We all just about lost our voices.
Mm-hmm. That was one thing I think that was really exceptional. And I know I've said it so many times, but normally when we go to a flying event, everyone connects through flight. They have a flight. And we're talking about the DIY aspect where you can create your own plane with simple common materials. This was like 180 degrees different, where it was people already love creating things. We were talking about the benefits of flight instead of the benefits of DIY and, making memories and everything. We're talking about how great it is to fly something you created, and that was cool. It was a whole different message, and my brother just came on the team, and he did a phenomenal job, but also Brian Doten, our camera guy.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal. He really did an amazing job, and all those videos he's edited, he sucked up a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, I think all of us explained or defined what flight test is more times than we ever have in our entire life. Which is good.
Yeah.
It was good practice for us because there are quite a few different, there's quite a few different things that flight test entails. It's not just a web show. It's a community. It's, family friendly. It's, we have forums. We have Facebook, everything. It's, I don't know, when you think about it, and I guess... We have a thing called the in-law struggle, and it's
the in-law struggle.
When the in-laws ask us what we do for a living, and we have to try to explain it, it's actually quite a mouthful. And I think Austin even says sometimes he gets to the point where he's like, "Well, I just work at a hobby shop."
Yeah, I've told people that before. That I work
should
for.
Be, you should be shocked with electric probe for that one.
I work for an RC company.
Some people just can't understand, though. People can't understand how it's like a legitimate business.
And sometimes it's not necessarily worth having the conversation. They're not going to be interested.
Yeah.
They're not going to get it. And so just shortcut it.
I think if I told some of my in-laws I was doing a hobby shop or something like that, they would probably be a little bit more supportive.
Yeah. Well,
they're funny, coming around.
Even at a family reunion I was at not too long ago, somebody was asking what I was up to, whatever, and I was explaining it, and they was like, "Oh, you're still doing that, huh?" It's like Austin he won't quit playing around
with RC planes.
Yeah. And guys, it's because of you that we get to try to define what we do for a living.
Exactly.
So thank you for that. Make was great. We did literally talk till we lost our voices.
Yeah.
And it was literally two full days of just getting to engage people. And I was honestly inspired by seeing what people were carrying around. A lot of people, we got to see Brendan there, and he had his whole family there, and he was competing in a game of drones.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so cool. They had a net, and they actually let Peter fly his VTOL in there when he got yelled at.
That was so much fun trying to fly the VTOL in this, what would you say, about probably 25 feet tall area by...
Probably 20 by 10.
There was four other quads flying around, a TBS Discovery, some Game of Drones copters.
Yeah, that was very nervous.
It was also windy too, so that was also extremely fun.
The guy from Flying Squirrel who's right next to us, he posted that video.
Oh, cool.
Of the VTOL flying.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
That's the sound of a cold, fresh Mountain Dew cracking open, just in case you guys are wondering.
This episode is brought to you by Mountain Dew.
Josh makes no apologies.
That would be a great ad break, just like a crack one open.
Well, I felt bad. I was supposed to do that beforehand, and I was like, man, I really want a drink, and I can't do that quietly.
So drinking noises during this podcast are brought to you by Mountain Dew.
Yeah, sorry about that.
When are they going to start sponsoring our episodes?
I sure hope so.
They should be. But yeah, the Game of Drones guys and Flying Squirrel guys were awesome. We were kind of nestled in between both of them, and that's an energetic group of kids there, Flying Squirrel guys.
Yeah.
They were awesome. It was fun really hanging out with those guys.
Yeah.
They were just doing something fun every 5 seconds.
Yeah. It was honestly, they were like, hey, let's go do this. And it's like, actually, that's kind of illegal. So we can't do that with you. Yeah. Oh, come on.
We wish we could have flown with you guys.
Yeah.
We were super busy, like we were saying. Actually, I remember feeling like I was getting sick because my throat was getting sore.
Yeah.
And then I woke up the next day and it was gone. And I guess it was just from talking.
Your vocal cords needed a rest.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was really cool. It was just like one person went right after another.
Yes.
And so they would see these, you know, because we like hung airplanes and stuff outside our tent, so they would see these things that were obviously, well, not obviously, but you know, apparently handmade. And there was just a lot of people there that were just like not necessarily into flight, but into, you know, doing things yourself and figuring things out and electronics, that sort of thing. And, you know, we heard a very, very common story. Like, I was always interested in RC. I always thought, you know, it was really cool. I always thought RC planes were cool, but it just seemed expensive and it seemed hard to get into. And so it was cool to, you know, kind of share our vision with some people and really...
educate them as far as how approachable the hobby now is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. And also, we got to see a lot of familiar faces, too. We had Keith Brown was down there. He's the gentleman that calls in with the movie phone and a lot of different voicemails. And also, boy, who are the other ones?
Kevin Teschner was there. It's always good seeing him.
Yeah.
He was saying he's going to be coming to the Horizon Indoor event.
Nice.
Or not the one in Akron.
The NEF.
Yeah.
NEF.
Which, yeah, it's always good hanging out with him. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to see him because he was at Flight Fest. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to see him progress as a pilot.
Yeah.
I remember at the Akron Indoor, I think he had like an F-22. And he hadn't even flown it. A lot of his planes he built, and he just hadn't flown because he was, you know, new to the hobby. And then at, like, Flight Fest, he's flying a custom-built 200% Mustang.
And it was gorgeous.
I know, and he was flying it like a pro.
Yeah, and he also brought down some friends, too, the other gentleman.
Steve Young.
And that was awesome because I think there's, what, 3 or 4 of them, and they actually connected through... flight test.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's cool.
David Mack was also there.
David Mack.
It's cool to see him there.
Yeah, and it's cool putting faces to the names because I think Steve, maybe it was on Instagram, he followed me and maybe we interacted or something. And shortly after Maker Faire, he posted the picture of me and him that we took at the event. Nice. I'm like, oh, that's who that is.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
I wish there was some kind of like, you know, pin you could wear where it would capture when you say someone's name and then take a picture of them because it's horrible when you see all these wonderful faces and you remember them but you forget, you know, okay, where was the last time I saw them?
Yeah.
You know, first name, last name. And then after about maybe 30 seconds of talking to them, everything comes back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I have that huge problem.
Yeah.
It's really bad for me. I can't remember anyone's name at all. I can hardly remember your... What's your name?
I still call him Alex, so...
It's Austin. Austin. Yeah, and another thing that was really cool is just walking around, milling around with thousands of other people is...
Yeah.
I would say at least 10 times. I had somebody... because I was wearing my flight test t-shirt, I have somebody stop me and be like, hey, you know, I just want to let you know, I love the show. You know, great job or whatever. You know, so people that weren't, you know, necessarily community members or people that recognized the show, recognized the brand or whatever, you know, just and I don't even think they thought I had any relation to Flight Test. They just saw me wearing the t-shirt, you know.
You know, one thing that warms my heart the most is when people come up and say, oh, Flight Test. And the thing that is the absolute coolest thing to hear is not that they learned a Flight Test through our videos or going, you know, where they're personally searching about, is where a friend or someone engaged them in about the hobby that was involved with Flight Test. And I came across that there, and it almost brought me to tears because that means there's wonderful community members going out and engaging people, sharing the hobby, but also sharing Flight Test with them.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in a way where when they come up to you, they know all about it, but it wasn't through the videos, it was through the people. And I think that would be the ultimate measure of success is when we can have that happen just as often as new YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That means you guys obviously are passionate about what you're doing and spreading that good stuff.
Yep.
Spreading the good stuff.
I was going to say the good news, but it's not the gospel. I mean, the gospel means good news, but, you know, it's I don't want to go there. The good stuff. The ooey, gooey, flying good stuff.
I like it.
So, All right. But, yeah, that was great. We definitely left tired after that. There was something. Oh, the lock thing. I know we're going to have this in a recap video, so guys, don't get mad.
Yeah, the recap video is going out.
Over.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, actually, by the time this – was the podcast going out
it's
today?
It's going to post today.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow. So, you guys, gonna get for your patience, you're getting a preview. but we had a little issue, and it was my fault. We actually locked up because it's New York City, our trailer.
Yeah.
And we had these key locks because I always forget combinations. And
we figured we would be responsible.
Yeah, we'd be responsible. Well, I was also responsible, and I made sure I didn't lose the key, and I did that by putting the key on the key ring of the vehicle we took down. And then I promptly had my brother park it over into a parking lot that was about 15 minutes away.
He dropped us off to set up.
Yeah. And because of that, we were locked out. And it was almost like a cartoon moment. Didn't it feel like that?
Yeah.
It's like, what are we going to do? This is horrible. We have to be over at Maker Zone and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And we were freaking out. Well, we look over and literally 300 feet away, it's learn how to pick locks for free. I went over there and there's a gentleman just hanging out waiting for his buddies to come. And his name was Night Owl. And I was like, this sounds really weird, but I need you to pick a lock for me. And he's like, sure. And he walks over, doesn't have anything in his hands. And he looks and he's like, he names the lock in like 2 seconds. And he's like, that's going to take a pick number four. Blah, 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 blah. So he reaches into his pocket. And Peter, this is where it kind of reminded me of you, because if you turn Peter upside down and shake him, the stuff that'll come out of him is pretty impressive. You know,
you don't want to know what's in there.
Yeah, there's a reason why he wears baggy pants.
They're not even that baggy. I'm just small.
He has like a Rolling Craftsman toolbox and a VW Beetle from 1974. And Also, gauze. I know Alex on the way down got a nosebleed. Peter reached into his little like pack of goodies, and you're like
EDC carry kit.
EDC is that
everyday carry.
Everyday carry. There you go. But yeah, so he reached into something equivalent to Peter's, but this had all titanium lock picking tools, you know, and he had the thing picked in under a minute. And that saved our bacon. But by the time he's onto the second lock, because we had three locks on this thing, Jim walks up and goes, "Hey guys, what are you doing?" So it was a memory, but it was also really cool to see.
It was just kind of this Looney Tunes moment where, like, if only somebody could pick the locks.
Yeah.
And it's like literally 50 feet away, there's this huge sign that says, "Free lock picking somewhere."
Yeah, and a guy named Night Owl with a big beard.
Night Owl. That was awesome. Yeah. So you guys will get to see Night Owl. We took footage of him. I made sure he wasn't wanted anywhere before we do that, so we're good. But no, it was really cool, and he was awesome and getting us out of trouble. But we had the tent set up and you know, we were operational before we had to go over to the Maker Faire, which is cool.
So yeah, you guys can check out that video is going out October 1st, so tomorrow, for those of you listening to that.
Nice.
This goes out. So E-Week, how did E-Week go?
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, we loaded up, and Peter, hats off to you, man. Mm-hmm. Peter had a lot of work to do before Mink, because a lot of our planes, you know, we keep flying them, and then we damage them. And when they come back damaged, someone has to fix them, and we chose Peter to be that person right now.
You guys just break all the airplanes.
And we do. We have so much flying them, like, what was it? Mm-hmm. We started with 5 storches, is that correct? And there's one storch that's in kind of okay condition.
That one's barely mine.
And that one's Peter's, and it's been glued back together more times than we want to count. But you had to rebuild the nose on Cabby. I went ahead and printed it off. I was like, Peter, here's a built nose. Can you paint it? And he's like, yeah.
Give to me.
Yep.
It was funny. We had to make a quick, like a sudden stop in New York because of traffic or something like that. And all you hear is like this little voice in the back seat, my plane.
Yeah, after you hit like the curb or something. You know, or a huge pothole.
My poor planes.
We had a fun bonding moment on the way back because I forgot my luggage on the way to Make, and so we had to stop by my house and grab it, and I threw a whole bunch of these long furring strips in there that were like 8 feet long, and it was so nestled, and some of the stuff was kind of damaged. We used your pocket knife and kind of scored the edge and built a whole upper shelf inside the trailer, which was hysterical, but it
worked really well. It still works. It held the... can we spoil this?
Oh, yeah, spoil it.
The microwave plane.
The microwave plane. And we'll move into Make now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, long story short, thank you, Peter, for all your hard work. This guy put in – your work ethic's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. He put in so much work to repair planes and get them where they're all ready to go. And because of that, we were able to go right over to E-Week very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. We had everything kind of 90% loaded. from one, and then we just took out what we didn't need and put in some flappy dudes, which we never used, and we were on the road again. But yeah, the E-Week was different for us, wasn't it? We kind of had a different set of goals. And Peter, why don't you talk about what we did on the way down and what you did there?
Well, I think this kind of goes back to what you wanted to do this winter, with one of the like community type challenges when you go to places. So what better way to start that off with something ridiculous than probably won't work? So we did a microwave, of all things, because it was natural to come after the toaster.
Flying microwave. Mm-hmm.
You know, someday there's going to be an oven. I just know it, and we're going to be cooking turkey.
Yeah, we're going to do a range test.
A range Peter is the pun master, by the way. I don't know if you guys know that yet or not. But, yeah, we stopped in Walmart, and it was kind of funny because we rented the RV, and what, 30 minutes down the road? There was this vibration in the back, and Eric and the rest of the guys were like, what in the world is going on? I didn't feel a thing up there. I was up in the front with Lee, and sure enough, we pulled over, and one of the tires is just completely ready to go. It is all mangled and, like, had flat spots all over it. And
bulging out in some corners.
Bulging. So we called Neff, and I was kind of cranky, but they sent a message up ahead of us, and while we were waiting to get that, we ran into Walmart and bought a microwave. And that was kind of funny because the reality of how heavy the microwave is, I got to say, I was kind of pessimistic. And they got me on camera, so I can't even deny that. And I was like, okay, that's not going to fly. It felt like, honestly, the weight of a cinder block to me. I mean, it was very comfortable.
It's pretty close to that, I think. Yeah. It was heavy.
But we bought it, and we moved on, and we carried, a case and a half of foam with us. And then Peter, and this is where, hats off to you again, man. What he's talking about, we want to do community episodes. We actually want to, during the winter, rather than being in 2 feet of snow, shivering, and wind, telling people, honest, it flies good if it wasn't windy and freezing. We want to go to you guys, and we want to do episodes with you guys. So look forward to us talking more about that. We brought Fred Provost is going to be helping organize that. Also, Lee Kackner, our newest guy on the team, is going to be heading up a lot of the logistics for some outreach and community development. More to talk about that in the future. But we wanted to kind of travel in and see how well it would work.
Yep, and it worked really well.
It worked amazing.
That plane was built in less than, like, what? Like, you would say 12 hours?
14 hours, maybe.
14 hours, yeah, about so.
The night before, you drew up a really awesome picture of what it looked like on the poster board, right? And he posted it up, and then this is where I thought it was really cool. You made lots of templates, and all I told Peter is I just wanted as many people to touch as possible and for it to be a collaboration. And the way you attacked that was awesome.
Yeah, it was good because I don't have to do any work.
Brother, you ran your tail off. And there's people building out like crazy. Fathers, sons. It was epic. Was there any daughters? I think there's... Actually, yeah. What was the young lady's name?
Oh, I forget.
From the awesome family of seven. Joshua, Caleb, and... Is it? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to forget the name of her. What a great family.
Yeah.
They were an awesome family.
We were hanging out with them at Joe Nault, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're always great. Actually, they saved our butt because Caleb's a photographer and cinematographer. And he had his equipment there, and Brian forgot the camera rig. I don't know, what he was planning on doing other than filming. I'm just joking. We like to give Brian a hard time.
He's not here right now. So. He's actually still recovering from the beating we gave him.
He's actually editing the Maker video right now. But anyways, we were short a camera rig, and Caleb was luckily there. He had an awesome fold-up camera rig that we were able to do. Mm-hmm. He even ran camera for us. And I think he ran sound a couple times.
Mm-hmm. His sister ran sound, I believe, too. Joshua ran sound.
So that whole family was just awesome. And their father is just great. Very, very supportive. Yeah. He's there with them at every event, camps with them. They even let us use their what was it? It's like a gator, like an ATV, big giant quad thing.
To haul the microwave plan.
To haul the microwave plan.
Back from the crash scene.
Because Pat Hartness, the founder of Triple Tree, he wanted us to. He was into what we were doing. He wanted us to fly it on the main line, and we're just like.
It was the night. Well, let's see. We got there Thursday because we had a lot of issues with the RV. We got there Thursday, right? Thursday midday.
I think so. Thursday morning.
And then Friday is when you spend all your time building. And then Friday night, we were running up and down the runway in the dark, trying to see, and it wouldn't lift off at all. It's almost, do you realize it's like typical flight test fashion? Mm-hmm. It never gets off the ground, and then all we do is just something bad.
Overpowered. Well, actually, we were under prop to begin with, so just put on the right size props, and we're good to go.
That's cool. And Laser Toys helped us out immensely. They hooked us up with all the motors and ESCs and servos. We just came down with foam. And and they were really, really gracious to help us out with that. But yeah, we were running up and down, and you were guiding it. And the funny thing was, is when the light hit the next morning, what did you find out about the props on that?
Let's see, 12-6 one side, 12-6 again, and 12-6. But on the last motor, on the very outboard panel, we had a 12-8.
So,
and on the dead side where it was rolling into, one of the cells is completely flat on the lipo.
So you had some thrust issues.
Yeah, a lot. That's why I couldn't go straight at all.
Yeah, the next morning, though, everything changed around. You had that thing ready to go with the proper size props and got a successful hop out of it. And the thing I loved is normally, like, we get all excited, you know, oh, yeah, we built it and stuff. This was, like, probably easily 30 to 40 people that were still around. And how many people do you think total actually had a hand in that thing?
I'd say probably plus 100 or so. Because, wow. I mean, some people would just come and go do a little something, you know, here and there. But it was really, really nice because everyone did something to it.
You did a great job in getting everyone's hands on it. And the thing I'm excited about now is we know when we travel, this is an opportunity for us to do these crazy projects. And I'm really excited about seeing what comes up next. And also, we're going to need you guys to suggest what you want to see.
Yeah, we can always do a toilet, a microwave, or we did a microwave, a TV, a fax machine.
See, Peter's dreaming right now. So it's honestly humbling to see how quick you can go from concept to design to reality. But when you have other people involved, it didn't slow it down. I think it sped it up.
Yeah, it went really fast.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got to fly a microwave. You guys can look forward to seeing that episode. And that thing's probably going to be hanging up
in a neat place. I want to be able to use the microwave, though. Just pop that door open.
It'll be hanging up right above the cafe. People will be eating hot dogs with it or something.
Are we still going to try to fire that up again?
Yeah. I think we're going to get one last flight because I wanted to do bacon, but we didn't have bacon. So we tried popcorn.
Yeah, we just warmed the bag, mainly because the inverter we had was a 750-watt unit. And I'm pretty sure there's two channels on there, and it's split between the sine wave or whatever it is. So we're only getting 320, 375 out of each channel.
That's not much.
And the microwave is 750 watts required to run it. So we're going to go buy a big one.
Why don't we just get a big extension cord?
Well, you want to chase after it? I've always thought about doing that. You know, put the generator on the ATV and we'll just fly after it.
Then it could be a kite.
You know, we could get a lot more power out of the motors probably too, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could do that.
Just some nice AC motors. But it was a blast, and that wasn't the least of it. We got to bring Eric for the first time on a road trip since Ceph of 3 years ago, which is really cool to spend time with him. And you and Eric had a lot of fun flying together, didn't you, Alex?
Yeah. Eric is he's a very energetic guy.
He doesn't run out. Well, and it's a reason. He's because he's addicted to making coffee.
Yeah. Not only does he love drinking it, but he likes making the coffee. And that was probably it was a great weekend. Now we're back here drinking this coffee, which is pretty good, but compared to Eric's, what does he do? What is it called? A Chemex?
A Chemex, yeah. It looks like a beaker. If you didn't know what he was doing, you'd probably think he was making drugs.
Yeah, I would have to say so.
Yeah, it looks very fishy. There's scales involved. There's so much water at a certain temperature, to a certain amount of beans, to a certain amount of pour, and it's pretty humbling. I mean, the guy does a really good job, and he was constantly trying out different blends. You know, did you notice that last? He was like, okay, try this. And he kept us all very caffeinated the whole time, including himself. And the thing I loved about it was the amount of time he was able to spend. I mean, I think he's up to like 2 in the morning chatting with people.
Yeah.
And we collapsed around 1:30, you know, 1 o'clock.
He never quits. He's like a machine.
So,
But yeah, it was great hanging out with him. And he was super excited because he threw together a mini quad, which is a little different for him because he's normally what he flies, I think his smallest copter is like 4 feet.
Yeah.
He flies very, very large aircraft.
He carries cannons and things like that.
He does aerial photography and stuff, and he's very, very talented. But he was super excited to fly this mini quad because he's not used to flying something with such a low stress level. You don't have to worry about it as much. And we had a lot of fun flying through the woods, and even got the opportunity to show people like Pat Hartness. I don't think he'd ever experienced FPV. I'm sure he knew what it was, but they have like an air traffic. It's a full scale runway, so they have an air traffic control tower there, and
7,000-foot grass strip.
Yeah. He says Pat Kepps. He loves to say that you know you can land a 747 there.
But no one has.
But Pat was, we were flying FPV and he was watching on a monitor and he's like, go up there and check out my antennas. I want to check those out, see if they're doing okay. So I was like flying around. It actually flew through his tower and
tower's beautiful.
It was a lot of fun.
You know, Pat Hartness, we've met like at last year's NOL and the way he treated my kids so quickly. I mean, I talked to him for like 15, 20 seconds and boom, he was right over to my kids, loving on them, being kind to them and you know, just giving his wisdom to him, but in such a gracious, amazing way. But this time it was really cool because he came out and saw us, and I think it's safe to say we hit off a really good friendship flight test and the guys at Triple Tree. We were up till I think 12:30 in the morning, you know, yakking away. But Uncle John and I know
Uncle John, Mark,
yeah,
all those guys, and you would think that, I mean, they're up on their years. You'd think they'd be going bed early. They were out hanging out. We were hanging out with them till darn near 1 a.m.
Yeah,
and it turns out that the heart of Triple Tree and Pat and all his crew, all their values and their you know, their core characteristics, they run almost exactly parallel with flight tests.
Yeah.
They're all about community. They're all about the people. I mean, the planes and all the fun stuff is just a vehicle to connect people. And
and it even says in their placard, if you always look at their placards, it says fun, fellowship, and hospitality.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have easily put flying in there.
Yeah.
You know, and it shows their heart. The vehicle, like you said, Alex, the planes are truly a vehicle to something great. And because of that, next year I think is going to be amazing. They've been so gracious to open the door. Still, it's preliminary, but we're going to look to bring what we did at Flight Fest to Joel Knoll.
Yeah.
And I want to start talking about that early because what they saw with Peter and them working on the planes and how approachable the kits were. I think we sent them home with quite a few kits.
Yeah.
But they love that concept. Their desire is to introduce people in the hobby in a way that's approachable and affordable, just like what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, I think, next year going to look to bring a build tent.
We're going
to
go all out for Joe Knoll.
Yep.
So if you're thinking about next year for, you know, your travel or vacation, other than Flight Fest, obviously, definitely put Joe Knoll on your map because it's going to be a really, really good one.
I like that fact, too, because there's a lot of people, say, in Texas or in other states that just simply too far, you know, for a lot of people to go. Joe Knoll kind of bridges that so they can have a similar experience of Flight Fest, but, you know, have it closer to them. And I'm really excited also about Flight Fest this year.
Yes.
By the way, we have the dates for that, don't we?
So I'm trying to look up right now.
He's looking up right now.
I forget what we decided. We did decide. I just don't know what we decided.
It's like something 8th, 9th, 10th.
Yeah, I think it's the second weekend of July or something like that.
Yeah. It's the weekend after the 4th. But we're looking up it right now, so I'll just keep stalling time. But yeah, we're gonna bring a big 100x40 tent, or have one set up there, and our goal is to have people be able to build and fly, and that's gonna be fleshed out more and more. I think one of our winter road trips, we're actually gonna be stopping by there, showing some of the amazing things they do. They actually have a 2-person sailplane that they winch up to 2,500 feet. And
that was a beautiful sailplane. They actually had it imported from Germany.
Yeah, yeah. These guys put their money where their mouth is. They invest personally into this. This is not a not a business as far as that generates, and they're just taking the part of the profit. This is a calling they have.
This is a passion. This is a hobby. Actually, it's funny because we were talking with Pat, and it's amazing how much he knows about grass.
Yeah. and everything big is in the woods.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah, apparently there's some wonderland out in the woods where he keeps a ton of machinery and golf carts, and it's anything that he's like, out in the woods, we got this giant lawnmower with a 38-foot deck. Yeah. Currently, they custom built. He's an engineer, obviously. Yeah. He's built airplanes and all kinds of crazy stuff. But him and his buddy Mark, they custom built a giant lawnmower that has a 38-foot deck.
Yeah.
And it has a ton of little 27-inch blades. And it cuts up to 38 foot. What can they can cut the runway in 2 swipes?
Three swipes. Yeah, it takes three swipes.
Insane. And this isn't just like a normal lawnmower. This is like fairway green. Oh, it's perfect.
It like contours to the landscape.
Yeah.
And like does all kinds of crazy things.
And they plant different grasses in different areas for different textures, which blew me away. They had like in the center of the runway where we tried to fly the toaster plane at first, we was like, okay, well, it's super
microwave
short there.
Plane.
The microwave plane, I'm sorry. It was like, okay, it's super short there.
And it's funny.
It was so thick. I mean, I know carpet story, but it felt like carpet. So, it was amazing. You could fall asleep on it. I think it was softer than the beds we were sleeping in.
Yeah, it was funny because the toaster plane wouldn't take off of the one grass. We're like, let's try this grass over here.
Yeah.
Plane. Sorry, did I say toaster?
Yeah, it's a toaster too.
It's a microplane.
Microplane.
Microbipe. I think it's what Crafty Dan called it.
Then that's what it'll be. Oh, by the way, Crafty Dan was there.
Yep. He was. Shout out to him too for the tail section of that plane because he got a lot of that done.
Yeah, he lived in there.
The plane gives a whole other meaning to UMX. That's an ultra microwave extreme.
But Pat, you're right. Patton knows, and he's like, okay, electric line has grown so much. They actually, from Joe Nall to this time, which has only been, what, 4 months, 5 months maybe? They actually went back and they took back trees and brush, and they tripled the depth.
Not even they. Literally, Pat Hartness.
Yeah.
He gets in the machines himself. I don't know how old he is, but I didn't want to ask. He's getting up there, and he's still extremely active for his age. It's amazing. He's like, well, yeah, I got an army of volunteers, but for some reason, I can't get any of them to get in this machinery. I guess they're afraid of the dust. So I do. And he was talking about all the hours he has logged in this heavy duty machinery.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. This guy is extremely passionate about the same thing we are, which is really exciting. We were discovering each other's passions the whole time we were there, and we kept going up to see Pat and his guys, and they kept coming down to see what we were up to. They were all about the toaster plane. They thought it was great.
Microwave plane. Correct to Josh, and now it's coming full circle.
I planned it to see you. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
We're going to beat you guys.
Yeah. And the neat thing, too, is he was so happy about the growth of that electric line. He's like, yeah, he goes, we tripled the depth so RVs could get in there because it was just overrun. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and this year we're going to go ahead and regrade. We're going to plant Bermuda grass. And like he said, he named off the grass that they're going to put in.
It's hilarious.
And they're building up because now that electric line,
he said something like that's his main focus. He said that's the most important aspect of Triple Tree right now because that's what's going to grow the hobby.
Yeah.
So it's super exciting that he recognizes that. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who's, he's got more full scale planes than we have RC planes, and for him to not only,
and they're even flyable.
Yeah.
Unlike ours.
Yeah, he gave us a look at the steerman, and so he still flies so constant too.
And for a guy that's that advanced, not only in RC but also full scale, to take the time and be like, no, this is what's important. This, you know, these guys down here that are flying $5 foam planes, this is really important. This is where this is what's going to grow the hobby. He's a special guy to be able to recognize that and not just focus on the things that he's interested in, but, you know, take a step back and look at the big picture.
Well, and he recognized the fact that they may not be the most impressive, but I think they're the most powerful.
Well, we actually shot the we did the episode on the Bix 3 while we were there. And we did like a community review, so we got people to fly.
Another new format.
And we had a beginner line and then like a advanced pilot line and let everybody try it out. And Pat was in the advanced line, and he was flying the Bix 3 around. He was doing like perfect 4-point rolls and square loops, and he's an extremely talented pilot.
He reminded me when I was watching him fly of a dear friend named Miles Reed, and some of you guys may know Miles because he was a world known pilot, you know, for RC, and also a designer, Weak Solution and the Extra 260 that his EDC Scratch built. But Pat knew him really well too, and that made me so happy because the flight style of those guys are so similar, and it's not the rolling Harriers, it's the, you know, slow rolls that go across the whole field, but you don't lose an inch. You know, that are just smooth as silk. But I love the fact that he gave analysis. He's like, yep, it's not a bad plane. It does 4-point rolls nice. And he's going down the line. By the way, the Bix 3, we're going to have a review on that. We got him in the day before we had to leave. The day that we were packing up, they came in, and Peter threw one of them together and test flew it, and then we brought the other two down and finished it.
It's a pretty cool plane.
Yeah, I like the landing gear and the features on it. I even told the Hobby King guys they did a good job on that. That was cool with the community review. We finally got some good weather on Saturday morning.
Yeah, the day we had to leave, unfortunately. Yeah. But we got some good flying in the morning. That's when we flew the toaster plane.
Microwave plane.
You started to say microwave before he said toaster because you knew. That was great. So, and you know, you and I and Eric got some bonding time. We got to fly about, what, 3 batteries in the early morning.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
I got to apologize. I don't think any of them were listening because they probably don't know we exist. But the control line guys.
Yeah.
I angered one of them.
Well, we were flying over the control line guys were non-existent until Saturday because the weather was kind of crappy the whole week. But we were flying over in the woods by the tower and also by the control line.
It was like a no man's land.
And
no one was there.
You could punch out there from the electric line and just punch through those woods, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
And we were doing that all week, and there was nobody over there the whole time. And then Saturday morning, some guys pulled up and...
I went ripping through there, and I was finally getting really comfortable too.
It was a couple of
times,
and it's understandable, but we watched the video, and in the goggles, you couldn't really tell that there were people over there. But in the video, you see these guys just like kind of staring at this quad flying by. And eventually, of course, Josh hit a tree and crashed. And he landed right side up, but he couldn't take off. He was tangled in the grass or something.
Yeah.
And you see, you hear a guy come walking up.
He just
and
kicks
he kicks the quad upside down like it's a, like it's a turtle or something. And then he picks it up and holds it upside down and sets it on the table upside down so it couldn't get away. So our good buddy that we were flying with there, he ran over. He was generous enough to run over and get it. Mm-hmm. And you can see, we were watching through the goggles. You could see him like looking at it. He's like giving us a sign. He's like, cut it. He's like, don't do it.
So he puts it down. And I thought he was saying, don't run it up. I'm holding it, you know. And he puts it down. And what do? I take off and start flying. And next thing I know, I circle around to film him because he's so awesome. And he's running after saying, put it down, land it. Well, there's two reasons. The control line guys, you know, forboded him of having us fly, but also my one prop nut spun off when I spooled up. So he was running after me with my prop nut, and right when I landed is when the third prop fell off.
Yeah.
So it was hysterical. We got a really good laugh about it, but sorry, control line guys, I will no longer ever fly over in that area unless Pat says I can, and then tough nuts, you know. And I will do it.
Then I will do it.
It was a lot of fun, and we're gonna be working with Triple Tree, and Pat, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to. I mean, they have tons of land. I think that they have 400 acres, and I think that the land that Triple Tree takes up is just a fraction of that 400 acres. So there's a lot of room to expand, and hopefully we'll be able to work with them to not only get like some kind of beginner line in the tent at Joe Nall, but maybe even like an area specifically for FPV. Because Pat definitely saw the value in that, and they were definitely impressed with the technology and saw the value in FPV. So that's super exciting.
We've always had a ton of respect for Triple Tree and for their whole operation, organization, everything, but I think it's on a whole other level now.
Yeah, it became the benchmark after our first Joe Nall, which the electric line was so much smaller. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, but that became the benchmark, the way people wore
it's
the
definitely this, it's the standard for events and all the other event coordinators out there. That's pretty much what everybody's striving to be like is because it's not only the scale and the size of that event or Joe Nall, but it's just the atmosphere and the nature of the event. It's unlike any of the other events. There's a lot of other good ones out there like Seth and whatnot. But seriously, Joe Nall and just Triple Tree, they definitely set the standards. They set the bar pretty high.
And they have full-scale activity, too. I think during the busy season, every single weekend, there's something different going on. And Pat always says the 50-50. He says, you know, models and full-scale. And he always tries to balance it out. So if you guys are also full-scale pilots, you know, you should check out their website. Speaking of that, I think we're going to actually work towards getting our dates because we know which events we're going to now pretty darn well. So we're going to work on trying to get that posted.
2015 travel schedule.
Yeah. And the only thing that may change is I've alluded to them a little bit and also with this, but we're going to be doing some traveling during the winter. We want to do some winter content where maybe we take a one-week loop and we go down south and we actually meet up with you wonderful folks and we do content with you. And then that gives us a whole month of content that's in better weather. You know, and then that in different locations, better weather.
And more importantly, we get to meet everybody.
Yeah.
We start putting faces to all these names.
Well, and it's important. I mean, Flight Fest was a huge demonstration of how dedicated you amazing folks are.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't expect for you guys to always have to come to us. You've given us this opportunity, this platform. We want to come to you.
Yeah.
And that's important to us.
And I think it's kind of a rare occurrence that an online community actually gets to grow into and become a physical community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was truly humbling to see that in action at Flight Fest.
And usually you have the online community has one nature, you know, usually more aggressive, more vulgar, more trollish. This community, the people are just as amazing online as they are in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I described that right. Does that make sense the way I described it? Okay.
Well, I don't think the people who are trolling on the internet, I don't think they are actually come to these kind of events.
Yeah.
They're keyboard warriors.
Keyboard warriors. That's a good way to put it. But to meet these people in person, they're just so incredibly kind, and it blesses us, too. We come away in inspired and touched and moved by it. And we want nothing more than to come to you to fellowship. And we're also, I guess this is kind of a plea. We're gonna leave it up to you guys on where we go. And Fred is gonna help us kind of narrow down, you know, where the pockets of activity are. And it's gonna be clunky, just like Flight Fest the first time, you know, we did it. We're gonna really count on you guys to kind of help us out, find our process to make this happen. But hopefully in January will be our first Southern road trip. And we'll probably go down south along the coast and then come back the other way. But we'll leave that up to you. Where we find the activity, we'll go, and we'll try to make a 1 week loop.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward
to
it.
Yeah, me too. I think that's going to be awesome.
And oh, you're going to say something, Al? Austin?
Yeah, I was.
And then Alex stopped because he wanted to make sure we were actually recording this whole thing.
Which is a ridiculous thing to do. Yeah. I don't know what I was going to say.
We were talking about the road trip. And
oh, yeah. I know that we've said before that we were going to put up like an events page on flighttest.com. We are going to do that. So
yeah, it's going to be reality.
We recently had a meeting where we kind of ironed out where we're going, what we're doing for the most part.
We got a new level of organization on the team.
And
that's Lee Kackner too, which I really felt benefited because I told him, I said, Saturday we got to leave by 2. And he's like, obviously.
He hits his mark.
Yeah.
2:01, we were packed up and ready to leave.
Yeah.
His military background is definitely something appreciated here. Even in yesterday's meeting, he's taking notes. And that's actually where you write words on paper. And then.
it's an interesting thing. It's a cool concept.
Then you meet those goals. And I know you guys do that, but it's really foreign to me. But it was pretty awesome. He's a blessing to the team. And he's also going to be heading up our community development. That to be announced later.
We're going to be doing a podcast with him. But. We're going to be looking to reach out to groups and clubs and schools and churches and try to grow this hobby even more than it's already growing. Well,
and just what you pointed out, Stu, this is a web community that's turned into a physical community.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to have that grow is to have more physical clubs, but designed in our passions and as we call the core values, inspirational, intentional, relational. All those core values and why we engage people the way we do and why we use the hobby as a tool. We want to, recreate clubs and groups in that image because, frankly, we think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's impactful and the benefits we've seen and the testimonies we've gotten, we're all on board with this. So and that's because of you guys and what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we were talking quite a while ago about Flight Fest dates.
Yeah.
So I have that pulled up. We're 99.9% sure it is going to be the 9th to the 12th.
Of July.
Of July.
Not next month.
Correct. Oh, my goodness. That'd be horrible.
Didn't we already, when we realized in 7 months, like, oh, my gosh, we better start now.
Yeah, I mean, we were having this meeting talking about it. We're like, in all reality, it's right around the corner again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it just happened. But, like, as far as planning for it and getting everything in motion, because we did something pretty crazy for Flight Fest, the first one, 2014.
The only reason it honestly pulled off was the community and you, Austin. You did a great job.
Well, so, the reason I'm saying it was crazy.
He's bald now, by the way, guys.
We started it was less than 3 months before we had the event. We started putting it together. Like, not that we would ever, be on this level, but, like, for example, like, Joe Nall, like, they're working all year to put their event together. Not that ours was anywhere close to the size of Joe Nall, but it's just funny because, like, something that... Nobody said that we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Nobody said that, like, it's insane to put an event together in 3 months and launch it. So nobody told us not to, so we just did it.
I love the fact that key people like Fred and that army of volunteers. Fred organizes volunteers for a living, through the park system. So I think he knew how crazy it was. He's like, but, I think I got this covered for you guys.
Yeah.
And he did.
Right.
But, wow. Yeah, looking back, ignorance really is bliss.
Yeah. It was pretty wild that we did that. Like, just the whole fact that it got pulled off at all is just pretty impressive.
Well, this year we're definitely going to start earlier. We're still going to need so much help, and it's still going to be clunky somewhat. But hopefully our goal is to have it. Your parents' location is obviously the backup.
Yeah.
But being that almost filled up this year, we're really working hardcore towards getting a destination location and having next year's Flight Fest, even if the building's not built, on the land of our destination location.
Yeah.
Which is pretty scary and ambitious, which I'm excited to take on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so location to be decided. Obviously, last year's location is a possibility, but like Josh mentioned, yeah, we were pretty close to maxing out 60 acres there.
I have a feeling it's going to be half again bigger next year.
Yeah.
This is my guess, especially with you guys leaving all the great testimonies. It's one thing for the, you know, for us to talk about how great it was. When you guys go out of your way to talk about it, encourage people to come, that obviously carries a lot more weight. And so many people have shared that. When we were talking to Noel and even making stuff, people knew about Flight Fest.
Yeah.
And that model that you guys helped make go well is what inspired Pat and what really impressed him. It was other people coming up to him and sharing that whole experience, you know, that made him jump in the little rover thing and drive on down to us. So thank you guys from the bottom of our heart. You're making this model work. But yeah, we'll see where this location, it'll be in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, it's close to where we are. None of us are moving yet, unless it's to North or South Carolina. By Triple Tree. Pat.
Triple Tree. Pat. so yeah, anyway, the dates are out there. I know a lot of people were asking just because a lot of people got a plan for that. A lot of people got to, you know, put in there for their vacation time, that sort of thing. And we're just excited that people are already excited about it. So
yeah.
I'm going to be working on the website some. I'm not sure when I'll have time, but as soon as possible, and we'll get pre-registrations up and that sort of thing. But you guys will hear more about that as it happens. So
yeah, it's going to be exciting. Really, really exciting. Yeah, I'm looking forward. 2014 was probably one of the craziest years of change and opportunity and growth. 2015, I think, is going to be very much the same.
Yeah. If not even worse.
Yeah, right.
Worse in a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's crazy to think about it. All the new venues and avenues and opportunities we've been blessed with. So we're going to seize those.
2014 was a bucking bronco, and we just slapped the bronco. So. I don't know. Does that work?
I don't know if that's going to be in and out because the vision of slapping a bronco is You'll never slap a bronco. Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, guys. Well, we want to thank you for your patience for us getting this podcast out. We discussed just letting it go till next week just because it's pretty late now. But we really respect the fact that, you know, people block out time to listen to these. And, you know, you're taking the time to listen to it. So we should at least take the time to make it.
I think it's safe to say next week. We talked a lot about a lot of things. Flight Fest next year. Joe Nall, the opportunities we have from there. Travel schedule for the winter. I'm just throwing you under the bus. Can we open up the phone lines next week or next time to obviously people are gonna have a lot of questions and we can dig into those deeper.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail about that, so what exactly do you want people to leave voicemails about?
Basically, we've talked about winter traveling. We've talked about doing the flight test connections, which will be the clubs, the schools, the churches. I'd love to start getting dialogue started, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of questions people have. I'd love to start seeing if we can flesh it out because that's going to bring discovery on our part and help us plan better.
Sure. So yeah, if you guys have questions about our winter travel schedule, or if you have questions about flight tests for our flight test connections is what we're calling it now. Feel free to leave us a voicemail. That's speakpipe.com/flight test. Speakpipe also has an iPhone app and an iPad app where you can record a voicemail through that. So we'd love to hear from you guys, and we'd love to answer some questions next time.
Awesome. Now, Peter, you're going to put the microwave back together today, aren't you?
Yep. Going to go buy a bigger inverter and put two more motors on it.
It's in two pieces in our trailer, and it fills up one-third of the trailer.
That's how big it is.
That's awesome.
All right. Thanks a lot, folks.
All right. Hey, take care, everyone.